two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being a part of the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, going into your weekend, man. We're already jumping in here. Scott, how you feeling tonight going into the weekend?
I feel phenomenal.
Look at you.
Yes. Cannot believe that it's a Friday.
I know.
So much exciting stuff going on this weekend.
More
lots
games
of,
being
lots
played.
Lots of sports.
Yep. Yes.
Big Ten's opening up. Mountain West is opening up. BYU's having a good year.
Scott, plus it's the World Series.
The World Series.
Right? I mean, yes. The reality is, if it comes down to it, I will not be watching the World Series. I'll be watching whatever other football game might be on. But, yeah, you've got all sorts of things. In terms of the NFL, there are games of interest. A little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking with Tim Hughes, part of our Silver and Black Attack, as he goes down and calls the game as the PA announcer over the big speakers at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. He's one of the few people on the planet we know who actually get into the stadium. So we'll talk to him. Our BYU insider Mitch Harper's coming up in just a little while, but we're going to start things off talking about the college football playoff. And as we get closer and closer to the Pac-12 getting underway, everybody else is underway this weekend, but as we get closer to the Pac-12 getting underway, I'm wondering how a Pac-12 team could get into the playoff considering they're only playing 7 games, and that's where we're going to start things right here on the program. Let's do it.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
Okay, so Scott, right off the bat here, I know we've kind of piled on the Pac-12, kind of deservedly, right, during all this, like...
Hey, I thought there was not going to be a season, and the fact that they're actually trying... they're going to be the last one to start, and they are having one. That says a lot. So I'm grateful.
Silver lining,
I'm
right?
grateful, yeah, for whatever there is.
So as this thing starts up, and as we're trying to figure out a little bit more about, you know, college football and the playoff and how that's going to work, the playing field is never even in college about picking who these teams are to go into the college football playoff. But it's even more tilted this year. You're going to have Pac-12 teams that have only played 7 games, if they're lucky, because there are a lot of folks who say, no, there's no way they're even going to get through this season, because they're going 6 weeks in a row and then a 7th week in a row of that quote-unquote championship week. And I'm not here to poo-poo whether or not they're even going to get through this season. That's kind of a Dave McCann thing to go. They're not even going to make it through week 4 before COVID hits. They got to shut it all back down again. I don't want to look that negatively on it. What I do want to know is how does a Pac-12 team being 7-0, even an Oregon team, how can they put themselves up against a one-loss SEC team who might be 9-1 or 10-1 going into a college football playoff committee deciding on who's going to go into the college football playoff? Is this a year the Pac-12 should just say, you know what, you get your 7 games and we shouldn't be considered for the playoff because we've only played 7 games. That's, you know, 30% fewer than everybody else has had to play.
With what has already happened in college football, and namely the Big 12, if it would, like, you were looking at teams like Texas, Oklahoma, maybe a team now, maybe the only shot that the Big 12 has is in Oklahoma State, and they're probably going to lose one, if not two, games before this is
over. They're not gonna have anybody. I don't think
so. So that they're kind of they're the one P5 that's probably out right now. Then you the SEC. Here's what's going to happen. Okay, you're the only team that probably could make that statement is going to be Georgia, and they're going to be 9-1, and they're going to play Alabama, who's probably undefeated in the SEC championship, and they're going to lose twice, and they're going to be out, and that's. Whatever scenario is going to happen, it's probably a one-loss SEC school going up against Alabama, and Alabama's going to beat whoever that is. Florida, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. Florida, Georgia, you know, probably one of those schools. Who knows? But Georgia and Florida, I believe, play. So one of those teams is for sure going to be out, and you're going to have at best one undefeated school in the SEC, and the rest with two losses. Then so you're going to have Alabama in. You're going to have Clemson in because they're just going to – they have – I mean, if you want to talk about a really easy schedule, it's the ACC and it's Clemson. They're just far and above better, and Trevor Lawrence is just better as a football player than he was a year ago. In fact, if I'm a betting person, I say Clemson would be your national champion this year. But regardless, then it's the Big Ten. And the Big Ten is kind of, you know, who knows – but so let's say you're going to have Ohio State because they're really the best team in the Big Ten, and they've got to win out to be in consideration for that. So now you have the Pac-12, and you really, I think, a group of five school or an independent like BYU does get in the discussion, provided that they are undefeated by the time they get to that schedule. The Pac-12, you don't have to win 12 games, but you get on a roll and you win seven games in the Pac-12. Yeah, you absolutely are in the middle of this. But here's the biggest problem aren't the other schools in the country that the Pac-12 has to concern himself with. It's what you said in the very beginning. The biggest deterrent is playing 7 weeks in a row, and that's going to be a bit of a challenge for – I mean, BYU, who's playing 10 games this year, maybe 11, maybe 12 – BYU has had to cancel a game already this year.
Yep.
And so I see it really hard, and, you know, and you see Florida had issues. You've seen these other schools. There have been issues around the country. I just see it really hard for a school in the Pac-12 to go 7 weeks in a row and be considered. But there'll be a team. If it's a high-profile team, see, Oregon's going to be ranked high as it is. And these other schools, USC maybe a little bit, but a team like Utah – I mean, if Utah wins and keeps winning, it's going to be hard for them to get high enough in 7 weeks in the polls to really have serious consideration just because they started so late. Late start, 7 weeks in a row is a deterrent, but the fact that other schools and other conferences have kind of left it open, the Pac-12, if they get an undefeated team, could seriously be in consideration, I think, for the college football playoffs.
I wonder if there's if you're a Pac-12, you know, kind of honk, you just want the Pac-12 to do well. And if you're a Utah fan, it does well for you if the Pac-12 is succeeding. So do you want – I mean, is there a possibility that Oregon gets in if you had – and how insane would it be? I'm not saying over BYU, that kind of thing. I don't think BYU's schedule is enough for people to realistically say, hey, this is the same kind of thing. Because you're talking about – even in the Pac-12, seven games that might not be, you know, eight or nine games in the Big 12 or in the Big 10, but it's still seven games in a conference that's much more difficult to play in than, you know, a pieced together COVID-19 schedule. But that being said, going through, I've heard this argument about, you know, look, BYU deserves all this credit. They have made something out of nothing, and the college football playoff committee should say, you know what, you should be commended for your efforts just by making this thing happen. And on the flip side, the Pac-12 hasn't done enough to make it to where they could be considered. And I'm wondering if that's the case. If the Pac-12 just gets left out because people go, way to go, you only played six or seven games as it is, we're not going to let you in the college football playoff.
All right. So let's compare Utah to BYU. Okay. Utah has four wins pretty much guaranteed on their schedule right now. They have two games.
Well, what does that say about how bad those Pac-12 teams are?
I understand, but those four wins, It's, you know, it's Colorado, it's Arizona, it's Ohio, it's Oregon State, and it's UCLA. And so do you say, is UCLA better than Houston? Is Oregon State better than North, you know, Texas State, you know, UT San Antonio? I mean, you know, you probably could argue that even those bad schools are better than some of the ones. But let's just take out the really bad people on BYU's schedule, and let's just take seven games.
Are your best seven games matched up against the best seven games of Utah?
Right,
to play?
And so Utah's going to play in those seven games. Let's just say they go all the way to the Pac-12 championship and win it. They're going to play USC. They're going to play Arizona State, and they're probably going to play Oregon.
Yeah, and if they won all seven of those,
you could make a strong argument that's a pretty good season, at least compared to like BYU. It's a better strength of schedule than what BYU had.
All right, let's take the break here. We're going to come back. We'll talk to the expert in all things Utah. Bill Riley is going to join us next right here on KSL's Unrivaled, the voice of the Utes. Stay right here with us. More to go on a Friday edition of KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.